are both members of what's called the Ghost Investigators Society, GIS for short. The Ghost Investigators Society is a non-profit organization dedicated to the investigation of ghosts. Not only do they conduct investigations, but also instruct, assist, and educate anybody who believes they may be experiencing ghostly phenomena, or those who are just simply curious. So how about you cats out there? In an effort to educate the public about ghosts, the GIS hopes the EVPs, or electronic voice phenomena, that are going to be presented tonight, will help demonstrate that the consciousness that we all know we have does survive after the body dies, and that these voices may help to give a different perspective about life, death, and ghosts. But I warn you, it's scary stuff. Get prepared. Well, all right. Once again, I want to specify at the beginning of the program that the reason that I keep having these two back again is because it is the GIS is a non-profit organization. They don't sell stuff. They don't sell books. They don't sell anything. They don't profit. They just go out and they record electronic voice phenomena, which is, by the way, not a new phenomena. It goes way back. It's time to welcome Brendan Cook and Barbara McBeth, both GIS members. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Art.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Great to have you back again. Well, folks, am I billing you correctly? I mean, you are a non-profit organization, right?
Yes, that's correct. We do not accept money for anything that we do. We do this simply out of the love of doing it and the interest of doing it and to hopefully educate as many people as possible about ghost phenomena.
And you're not even selling stuff, are you?
No. There's no books. There's no CDs, although we could, but we won't. And we
you certainly could. Oh, my God. Could you put together CDs?
Yes.
You want to explain, it's just absolutely necessary for those who have never heard it before. First of all, electronic voice phenomena, voices appearing out of the blue on magnetic tape is not a new thing. Electronic voice phenomena goes back how far?
Actually, to about the 50s, Edison and Marconi both were working on some kind of machine that runs along the same lines as EVP. It really has been around since the 50s. Some of the earliest people that reported recording voices were, there was two monks that were recording Gregorian chants and reported picking up voices while they were recording them.
Edison actually did think he could talk to the dead, didn't he?
Yeah, that is correct. He actually had, from what I've heard, designed a machine to talk to the dead.
A lot of people just don't know. Yes, talk to the dead, 5 cents a minute. A lot of people really don't, I guess they don't want to absorb this aspect. To them, Edison was just a pure scientist, never had thoughts of this kind of thing, but that's baloney, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, people are so taken back by it. The fact, you know, they're taught all their life that this doesn't exist and they shouldn't be able to talk to the dead at all. They're taught that once you're dead, you go to heaven, or once you're dead, you're dead. That's it. There's nothing left.
That's right.
And we've simply found that that's not right. I mean, your consciousness does survive. You maintain the same personality as you did in life.
What you have would seem to go an awful long way toward proving that. I read an article, I don't know if you happen to hear the first hour of the show or not, but I read an article about some scientists who are opening up people's brains and putting electrodes in and causing them to have OBEs.
I heard bits and pieces of it, but
I did not
actually catch the whole thing.
So, you know, that's the other side of it. They're saying, I guess the suggestion is, even though they backed away from it a little bit, that, you know, it's just a phenomena of our own brains, that it's not something external, that there is no transference of energy that is whatever we are, you know, our soul, to another plane that continues to exist, that is probably all just bunk.
And we've heard that. I mean, we've heard probably every explanation you could think of on why these voices come through on tapes. And, yeah, ghosts are not real. It's just simply a figment of your imagination. And, you know, that's all well and good until you're out in the middle of a haunted location or in the middle of a cemetery and...
And it happens.
Yeah, pick up a voice that's responding to you. I mean, it's not so much picking up a voice, but the fact that it interacts with you. And sometimes there's contemporary information with it.
Yeah, that really does lay down some pretty heavy proof, in my opinion, on the side of... We do survive death, or something of us does survive death. A consciousness, obviously, and particularly if there's contemporary interactive information, it's got to be. So that's why I continue to pursue this. Now, tell everybody how you do this. In other words, you take recorders, well, standard cassette recorders for the most part, right?
Yes.
And you take them out into places like cemeteries.
Yes. We always use brand new tapes. We never reuse any tapes.
Which in itself must get to be expensive. You must buy a lot of tape.
We do.
Uh-huh.
And we invite, we play the recorders also, which is important. We play it on regular speed. If you use a 60-minute tape, it should take 60 minutes to record.
Oh, now, we've never really talked about it. So you don't, in order to conserve tape, you don't go to one-quarter speed. You keep it at regular speed.
Right.
That's correct.
That's clear, it records clear, and it helps the clarity of any AVP that you would record.
Inevitably, somebody will suggest, well, then, if clarity is what you want, then why not go to mini discs or something of that order? You still got a microphone, but as we have discussed in the past, folks, the way voices are imprinted on tape is electromagnetic. In other words, it passes over a tape head that makes an electromagnetic imprint on the tape. And I guess the suggestion is that ghosts are able to, or entities are able to operate in an electromagnetic, or to emit electromagnetic impulses or energy, and that way they're able to do it onto tape and not so easily to, say, a mini CD or something like that. Is that fair?
Well, that is definitely the theory, and that's definitely the theory we've gone along with for quite a long time. However, and you'll see this in the first 9 Voices EVPs that we're going to play tonight.
Really?
These were all recorded with a digital recorder.
Oh, my goodness. Here we go, huh?
Yeah. A man named Joe Bowman actually donated an RCA digital recorder to us, and we have been using that quite extensively lately. And
oh, really?
It has resulted in really, really nice EVP.
Oh, wow. What a surprise tonight. I have no idea this will lay in wait for me, so...
Well, it was a surprise to us, too.
We honestly didn't believe this would work.
And so it's a digital... What kind of recorder?
It's an RCA. I'm not exactly sure.
What's
the
medium?
Model number.
What does it record on, the medium?
It's just an internal hard disk.
Oh, a hard disk. Okay, so it's purely, completely digital.
That's correct.
Which means that the noise is almost gone compared to tape noise.
Yes, there's no tape hiss. There's no internal motor noises.
Oh, gee. My goodness, folks.
This throws a whole new thing in that.
It does. It throws the whole thing up in the air a little bit. In fact, a lot.
It surprised us.
Well, how long ago did you get it?
We just barely got it just a couple of months ago.
Yeah, in July, I believe, is since we've had it.
And so you began to take it along on your treks to cemeteries, prisons, and other areas of joy.
That's correct.
Uh-huh.
And we are... The only problem we've had with it is it's got a 2-hour hard disk, and our investigations quite often last longer than 2 hours, so we find ourselves having to run out and listen to it so we can clear it and start all over again.
Well, of course.
But we still are using our regular tape recorders
also
at the same time.
Okay. Well, at today's prices, you know, you can go out and get like an 80-gig hard drive for, like, not much at all.
Yes.
And so that would last hours and hours and hours longer than your tape.
Yes, that's correct. And we are, and you'll see from the results these first 9 that we're going to play, and there's also scattered throughout the rest of the voices, there are some other digital recordings as well, but just from the sheer amount of results that we got from this and the clarity of them, we are definitely going to pursue this more.
The GIS enters the 21st century.
We're getting pulled there whether we like it or not.
Apparently so. I'm shocked, surprised, and you always had the theory that I sort of outlined there that electromagnetic imprints could be made easily on tape and other formats it wouldn't be so easy for the entities to get to. But I guess that one's up in smoke, huh?
Well, it's true. I mean, to be honest, the theory sounded so good. I mean, it sounded like it should work. I mean, that's how it should be done. But this has just completely turned it around for us.
Does that mean that, how much difference, I mean, we're about to hear, obviously, the difference, but in terms of quality and being able to dig the audio from the noise for something that we can air here, how much difference is there?
I believe there's quite a bit of difference, and I think that's simply because I work with the voices so much, getting them ready for this.
Sure.
But, yeah, I believe there's a vast amount of difference just because there is no tape hiss and there's no, I mean, the voices are so much more lifelike. In fact, we ran into the problem hoping that nobody would think these are fake because some of the voices sound so clear, like they're actually there.
Well, you see, that would figure. I mean, as if you could pick them up on something as clear as a digital imprint on a hard drive, then yes, I can see that would perhaps be so clear they wouldn't appear real to those who would hear them. And then once you get done, what do? Do you format the hard drive or?
Reformat the hard drive.
You reformat the hard drive?
Yes.
All right. Let's try it. I'm dying to hear what one of these sounds like. So let's do number one, see what it sounds like.
All right. We had been contacted by a funeral director who recently, within the last 3 months, started having activity in his home. He has lived in this home for several years, and this is just a recent occurrence, and he contacted us to come and do an investigation. And these are from the preliminary investigation. We will be going back there tomorrow to do a follow-up.
So let me get this straight. A funeral director began having activity in his own home, like something perhaps followed him home.
Followed him.
Right. That's what I'm leaning towards has taken place.
And so he contacted GIS?
Yes.
And said, can you help? Can you tell me what I've got or what's going on?
He has visually seen a small child and also a man in the house. And, in fact, his wife came home from work this past week, and she thought that there was an intruder in the house. She grabbed her purse and cell phone and called him at work. He immediately left, called the police that there was an intruder in the home because she heard boxes being slid across the floor. And so they thought, you know, for sure that there was somebody that had broken into the home. And the police arrived at the same time he arrived home, and they went in and searched the premises, and there was nothing bothered or no sign of forced entry anywhere or anything. But this first voice you're going to hear is, you're going to hear Brendan say, will you talk with me? And there's a child's voice that responds, and it says either father or others.
All right. Here it comes. You're going to hear Brendan's voice first. Will you talk with me? And then you will hear something from the other side.
Will you talk with me?
Now, to me, that clearly sounds like father. I mean, that's not real hard to make out. I'll do it again so everybody can hear it, but it sounds very clearly like father to me. Listen very carefully now, folks.
Will you talk with me?
So, you two, I take it, assume that that meant whoever it was wanted to speak with father.
Yes. And I think you'll see that farther down the line as we play more of these voices from this house. that this child is almost longing for parents, maybe.
Boy, that brings us right back to that place we always get to in this program. And
yes.
That is that, you know, we all try and imagine what happens to us when we pass on. And there are terrible tragedies where children pass on, of course, you know, at a very young age. And if what you all pick up on these tapes is real and it's the truth, then that would seem to indicate, it would seem to indicate that on the other side, you are what you are when you pass. If you are a child, you are a child. If you are a grumpy old man, then you're a grumpy old man on the other side. And that just doesn't fit in with a lot of people's image of what heaven would be.
That's correct. I mean, we don't believe that you change at all once you've passed on.
Your personality and your likes and your dislikes are still going to be, if it's a mental state that you're in and the consciousness survives, you are still going to be the same type of person you were when you were alive.
Well, but that would mean that there's going to be a lot of downright nasty people in heaven. And that
well, they're not necessarily in heaven.
Well, now, you raise a good point there. We're getting these voices, but we really don't know the point of origin precisely, do we?
No, that's correct. I mean, to be honest, I do believe there is a heaven. I don't think, you know, whatever these entities are where we're getting these voices from, I don't think they're there. That's not
they haven't
where they're
proceeded
at.
Where they should go. I believe that they're still stuck here in our realm for some reason. And
so then you don't think you're hearing from heaven. You do think you're hearing from the dead.
Yes.
But not from heaven, not from hell.
That's correct. I do not believe that they have gone on and moved to where they should be.
But I've heard voices we played on this program that you all have recorded of little children saying, it's cold, it's dark in here.
Yes.
Do you remember those?
Oh, yes.
And, you know, wherever they're at, that's, you know, that could be what it's like. I mean, we constantly, one of our main questions that we ask when we're out is, what is it like where you're at?
You see, this does not exactly alleviate the fear of death.
I believe that it's a state of mind that you're in.
Both here and there, I guess. All right, hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour. It's cold and it's dark in here. In a very frightened child's voice. That, you know, that just doesn't exactly alleviate the fear of dying for many, including me. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born.
And then to burst up through tarmac to the sun again, or to fly to the sun without burning a wing, to lie in a meadow and hear the grass sing, to have all these things in our memories hoard, and they use them to help us.
Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
Oh, it should have occurred to me before. A hard drive is an electromagnetic device. Of course it is, unlike a CD. I was thinking of CDs and CD, you know, a laser burning a CD, right? A little different process, but with a hard drive, you're still in the electromagnetic arena, but you are in the digital arena as well, which means that you get clarity, but it's still electromagnetic. Duh, should have hit me. You know, it really should have hit me the moment I started talking about it. A hard drive is electromagnetic. And unlike a CD, I was somehow stuck on mini CDs and that sort of thing, which are burned with lasers. So this is really still in the electromagnetic realm. It's just going to be a whole lot cleaner, right?
Well, that's correct.
Duh.
Glad you explained it to me, because I couldn't understand it.
Yeah, well, it just hit me all of a sudden. Okay, so the next, how many roughly?
Actually, the next eight
are from hard drive.
Yeah, well, and they're actually from the same house.
From the same house.
Yeah, this house was extremely active, and a lot of it, and you'll hear this in the recordings, seems to be the kid. I mean, you'll hear the kid, they've seen the kid, we've seen the kid being there. When we first pulled up into the driveway, the first night we went and conducted a preliminary investigation, the two owners of the house were sitting out on the driveway, and they wouldn't even go in their house. And as soon as we pulled in, we saw they had, a two-story home. And up on the second story, there's two sets of windows. And we just pulled in, and I looked up and saw something walk across the window. It was almost like a shadow.
Uh-huh.
And I immediately asked the owner, is anybody inside the house? And he said, no one's inside the house. We're sitting out here waiting for you.
Uh-huh.
And I asked, well, is there a ceiling fan maybe that was spinning around that might have caused that shadow? And he said, no, there's no ceiling fan in that room.
Uh-huh.
So, and I think all of us saw it. All four members of the GIS that were there and the two owners of the house all saw this in the window.
Has this caused the man, who I don't want to name, and I hope you won't, the man, the Undertaker, to rethink what he's doing for a living?
No, he has always done this, I mean, for years.
And so he shall continue to do it, but he does think it's connected to what he does.
Yes. And we do, too. I mean, we think something probably has followed him home.
All right. Let's do another one. And again, these are going to be from the same house that you just heard described, everybody. What do we have here, number two?
All right. This one, I need to explain. You're going to hear the man, the owner, one of the owners of the house, say, you can go and play in Derek's room, okay? And then you're going to hear the kid say, okay. And then the owner will say, go ahead and go play. Well, the owner, there was no kid there at the time at all. We had told the owner to refer to the ghost, which the ghost of the kid, as being a living person, to talk to it like you would a living person.
Just like it was a...
Yeah, just not to treat it any differently than a living person. So some of these voices, you're going to hear him talk like he's talking to somebody that's really there, although nobody, well, obviously the voices, yeah. Obviously, the EVP shows that something was there, but there, we didn't see a kid at the time.
Well, all right, good enough. Here it comes. Let's all listen very carefully. Here we go.
You can go and play in Derek's room, okay?
Okay.
Go ahead and go play.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Oh, that was clearly a child, and clearly responding to a contemporary offer, go play. Listen. Oh, man, this is one of the better ones. Listen to this again.
You can go and play in Derek's room. Okay?
Okay.
Go ahead and go play.
Okay. Okay.
That was, that's one of the ones that, in my mind, is already in the category of almost too clear to believe.
And I need to explain, as he's saying, go play in Derek's room. Derek is their son, and he was not there at the time because we don't allow kids when we're doing investigations. So he was not in the house at the time. But this little boy has been reported being seen in this Derek's room.
Aye, aye, aye.
Because, of course, it's a little boy's room, so where else is a little boy going to go?
In fact, there's some automated toys that when the son hasn't been home, that'll start playing by themselves. They know that this little boy ghost is hanging out in the child's room.
One more time. I've got to hear this one more time. You see, I don't hear these folks purposely until the show. I don't want to hear them because I want to react the way I think the audience might be reacting, and this one really grabs me.
You can go and play in Derek's room. Okay? Go ahead and go play.
Okay.
That's too much. That's really too much. I mean, how do you all react when you hear... I mean, there's no mistaking that one. That is a child's voice. That is a child's voice. Straight out. No mistaking. No hiss on the tape. There is no tape. It's a child's voice. So, I know, Barbara, it troubles you kind of the way it troubles me.
Well, yes, I still... every time we record any children's voices, I almost expect now to always get children's voices for as many times as we have. But I still cannot understand why there are so many.
Yeah.
Unless it's their energy, or you know how much energy children have. I just cannot explain it. Why there are so many. And they are definitely, there's no question about it, that they're children's voices.
Maybe it's easier as an adult to understand you're dead. Who knows what the moment of death, or more likely, the moment after death is like. And it may well be that we don't know for a period of time that we're dead.
I believe that because of people having been pronounced clinically dead and being... brought back and revived, people that have experienced that have said that they did not realize that they were dead until they saw their body. It was just like walking from one room to another.
Uh-huh.
And there was no concept of being dead until they actually saw their physical body lying there.
But a child...
And so a child, I would imagine, does not realize they are dead when
I mean,
when they
an adult, for example, that is ill might have an expectation that they could die. An adult who is very old might just have a general expectation their time is short. But a child would not have such an expectation.
That's correct. And that's the only thing I can think of why we do record so many children's voices is that they do not realize that they are dead.
Okay, here comes number three, again, I assume, from the same house.
Yes. In this clip, you're going to hear the homeowner, he's referring to his wife. She had felt some, like a rush towards her the previous night before we had got there. And she said it almost felt like she was being hugged, like somebody hugged her. Around her stomach, you know.
Yes.
And so you're going to hear the owner, and he's referring to his wife. He'll say, "Did you hug her last night?" And you're going to hear this child say, "It be okay." Brendan hears it's going to be okay, but I just hear "it be okay."
All right, let's see what we hear. Here it comes.
Did you hug her last night?
Oh, boy, is that clear. I think "it be okay" is what it sounds like. I want to, again, I've got to hear it. Here we go.
Did you hug her last night?
Okay. Wow. Jeez. It's immaterial. It's going to be okay. It'd be okay. I don't know, one or the other, but clearly there's no way that's not a child's voice. That's a child's voice.
Definitely a child.
Yeah. Oh. I can only imagine that the two of you, even more, sitting around a table running into these on the hard drive must have totally freaked.
Well, they're quite astounding. I mean, when you do record this type of thing, sometimes it's astounding. No matter how many times you get EVP, when you hear these voices, you know, sometimes you're just completely blown away by it.
But, you know, you're definitely correct, especially with the digital recorder. It really did blow us away.
Yeah.
Just because we were expecting not to get anything. And especially to hear the clarity when we did get something, that really shocked us.
Well, it's a big leap for the GIS to be moving into this, obviously, and for the program here, because it's the clarity is just, I mean, it's absolutely astounding. One last time for my benefit.
Did you have your last night?
Now, in the repeats, it sounds like you brought the audio level up a little bit.
Yeah, correct. We did. I amplified the last two loops on that.
But you didn't otherwise process them?
No, not at all.
You don't need to.
Oh boy! All right, number four.
All right. Well, this one, I was with the homeowner. And we were up in his bedroom, which is another place where he said he's seen the child.
Mm-hmm.
And he had one of his son's toys because he knows that the ghost child seemed to like to play with his son's toys. And so he set the toy on the ground, and you'll hear him say, "Here, buddy."
That would be the homeowner saying,
"The
"Here,
homeowner."
Buddy?
The homeowner, yes, that's correct. And right after that, you hear a child say, and it sounds like the same child saying, "I see good." Good.
Here it comes.
Hey, buddy.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
These are too much. These really are too much. These are the wildest ones you've ever come to me with yet. We're going to do this one more time. And there's a pause. There's a pause in that child's voice that's kind of creepy. It's kind of like a conclusive thing for the child. Good. And then good. Listen very carefully. One more time.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, when you can hear the change in intonation in the child's voice in the second good. Oh, my God, is that creepy.
And he sounds so young.
Yeah, he sounds just like a young boy, almost in a contemplative state at the end where he's saying, good,
mm-hmm.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even do it right, but I mean...
You can't imitate it.
There's that change in... Well, you're right. You can't imitate that, can you?
No.
That's... oh, man.
Hey, buddy.
All right, now I could hear in the background, very lightly in the background, I think I heard somebody else say something. Somebody who was in the room, or I couldn't make it out, but I could hear some other sort of muffled voice compared to that.
GIS member Roger was on the stairs talking at the time that was recorded.
To the lady of the house.
Wow, you guys. I don't know how you do this. I just don't know how. Do we know who this child is?
No, but we're trying to find out.
How do you do that? I mean, do you begin then, do you look back into the history of the house and try and find a time when a family had a child that died in the home, or how do you begin such a process?
This is a new home that he has lived in for the last several years. He's the only owner.
It's a new home?
Yes.
Well, then that rules that out. Could it be the property?
I honestly don't think it has anything to do with the property or the home. I really believe it's him. I believe that being a funeral director, he has contacted the spirit somehow.
Okay, well, then you had to go to him, I'm sure, and ask how many children in recent years
he has buried.
That's right.
Yes.
I asked him that when he called.
And what we'll do is a few voices down here. Voice number 8, we'll get into that a little bit more because it kind of goes along with the story of the voice.
How is this man handling this? I mean, it would be bad enough to think that you're haunted to the degree you'd pick up a phone and call somebody like GIS, but then to hear what GIS records in your home, that would be over the top totally. I mean, if you lived in that home, it's easy enough to sit out here in the audience and, you know, rationalize this away. But if you were the guy who had called you and then you heard this, and I presume you played all these for him, right?
No, we have not played these for him yet.
Oh, you have not?
No, we'll do that tomorrow night.
We'll do it tomorrow night when we do our follow-up.
Has it occurred to you he might be listening?
I doubt if he stays up this late. He's a businessman, and I don't think he stays up late.
On top of that, they haven't been getting a whole lot of sleep lately just because of the activity that's been going on.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
And not only have they seen this child, they have also seen a man in a blue flannel shirt in the house.
Oh.
And so I don't believe that there's just one. I think that there is more than one there.
So then what is the implication here that those who attend the dying, the dead, within a very short period of time of that death may have something attached to them?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. It would be interesting if there are any other people that work in funeral homes tonight
would let us know or let you know.
I bet most of them are going to be unwilling to even talk about it.
That's true. They definitely might be just because of the nature of their business. They don't want people to know that they experienced this.
It's not something that you would want your past and potential customers to be aware of, is it?
That's definitely correct, and that's why we won't use this man's name.
Thank you. I wonder if anybody else would be willing to come forward. Funeral home workers, as well as those, you know, who manage or own, maybe some of the workers, the people who do the drudgery part of the work, I guess there is drudgery part of the work in that kind of a job.
You know, and in that kind of job, I would think that many people experience ghost phenomena just because of the nature of their business.
I think I've asked you two this before, and I think I'll ask again now, but just to see if you've revised your opinion. Has this changed the way either of you wish your own personal deaths to be handled?
No, not me. I feel like when my body dies, I want to be buried, and, I want the cheapest funeral possible. Cheapest box. I feel like how I am as a person will determine how my life is after I die.
Okay, cheap box. Brendan?
Well, I'm definitely going to have to agree with Barbara. I think the whole thing is how you act in life.
And I thought you were going for cremation.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's just personal preference, but I don't think it would affect
anything. I've got you. All right, we'll be back. Stay put, everybody.
Call Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Boy, you know, I do this kind of material, and I've done it for years and years and years, and every now and then there's something that's too much for me. Once upon a time when you were nine. that last EVP is haunting me, and I'm not exactly sure why. I think it has to do with the obvious intonation, and it's a clear enough, you know, that you can hear that child's voice pause in between words, meditate almost, and then add an intonation that makes it so unbearably dramatic if you listen very closely. And you know, the man of the house says, here, buddy, as though he's talking to a child, and just listen. Just listen.
Hey, buddy.
Okay.
Hey, buddy.
Once again, welcoming GIS members, Barbara and Brendan, back to the program.
Thank you.
I just don't know what to say about these. You've really taken it to another level with these recordings.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I definitely, from the second we got our first voice with the digital recorder, I mean, I could tell automatically how much clearer it was and how much easier it was going to make it for us to hopefully understand what's being said.
Do you think that it will bring with it any criticisms of, but more easily tampered with, for example, since it's in digital format when it's on a hard drive?
Oh, of course. I mean,
but we get criticized now, you know, and so it's not going to make too much difference as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Anytime you're dealing with this subject, I mean, you're open to criticism, and we expect that.
Now, we should do this. We do it every program. You're not the only ones who can do this. I mean, if somebody thinks you're full of it, and they would like to take the trouble not just to express that emotion with some Terry email they tear off or whatever, but rather go out and try it for themselves, they can do that, can't they? I mean, in other words, there's nothing, y'all are pretty good at it because you've been doing it a long time, but somebody can go out and duplicate your results, right?
That's correct. You can spend as much or as little money on this as you want and still get really, really good results. All you need, literally, is just a tape recorder, preferably with an external microphone. It clears up the voices. Obviously, a digital recorder works. I mean, we figured that out. Also, alternatively, you can go to our website, and we have a whole page describing just how to record EVP.
Does that include the newer digital hard drive format?
Yeah, literally it's all virtually the same. You do it pretty much the same way. The biggest thing we can tell people is if you are using magnetic tape, to always use brand new tapes and to talk to them like they're regular people.
In other words, talk to a ghost as though it's alive.
That's correct.
Right now.
I mean, ask it questions. Say, I know you're here. I mean, I know you can hear me. Ask what it's like where you're at. What's your name? I mean, things that you would ask to a normal person if you were just going to introduce yourself.
Well, other than the child's voice that still haunts me and says it's cold and dark in here, whatever it was that child said, mm-hmm. What have you two learned about what it is like on the other side?
Really, not a whole lot. Because
I think it demonstrates that you're still aware and you still have emotions. I think that's been proven beyond a doubt.
Yes.
That you still have emotions after death. There's still a want and a need to try to communicate. They're obviously aware of us when we're there.
They're probably, I guess they're aware that they suddenly have a means to communicate that they didn't have before you arrived.
It would seem that way, but there's some voices where we don't hear anything from them again. And obviously, we mentioned this before, we're trying to utilize that real-time recorder that you kept bringing up to us.
Well, sure. Are you experimenting with that? And what we're talking about here, folks, is you could have a recorder where you'd have a record head, and then you'd have a playback head active, and you would actually hear in real time what was being said to you, rather than having to take the recorder or the hard drive back and play it back and pick all of this out hours later. You'd have the ability to be truly interactive with the entity because you'd hear the entity voice within a second or two or three or four of when it was said. So you could then respond and start to become interactive. That was the concept that I gave you all. Somebody provided you with some kind of machine, right?
That's correct. A man named Christopher Helms has built us, initially he built us two real-time recorders. And, you know, we played some voices from them on the last show we did with you, and there were a couple bugs that needed to be worked out with tape delay and background hiss and things like that. We're actually working on our fifth model right now, and, you know, just testing it, it is so much clearer than the previous models.
This, of course, could also be done. It would require a little tricky electronics, but it could be done with a hard drive as well, by the way. Let's proceed. Number five. We're not going fast enough here. Number five.
Okay. This next one, we had just entered into the house, and you'll hear the homeowner say, oh, let me close this door. And then you'll hear this child say hi, and it sounds like it giggles and then says hi again.
Really? All right. Here we go.
Oh, let me close this door.
All right. Number one, clearly a child's voice. In this one, I can't so clearly identify that it is a giggle, necessarily.
It sounded like it was saying something, but I can't make out what it says.
Brendan
thought it might be a giggle.
A giggle, yeah. Let's all listen one more time. What is that in between?
Oh, let me close this door.
That could be a giggle. I mean, I as easily as anything else, it's indiscernible to me what that is.
Mm-hmm. But he says hi at the end.
Yes, clearly a second hi. So it was hi, something, hi.
Hi.
And it really does sound like a child's voice, doesn't it?
Yes. Sounds like the same little child.
And there was, to be completely clear, there was no child in the house.
There was definitely no child in the house.
We never allow children with us.
As a matter, for what reason?
Well, you would not be able to tell if it was the child present or a ghost child if you recorded a voice, for one thing.
Yeah.
And on top of that, children, you know, are obviously scared of this, and we don't want to scare people with this.
Well, you do a really good job. You're doing a job on me. So, I mean, you know that this scares people. How could this not scare people?
Well, I mean, if it was me, this would be comforting. I mean, as weird as that sounds, this would be comforting to me if I was questioning, you know, if there was anything on the other side.
Okay. Number six.
All right. Well, this one, I was in the basement with the homeowner again, and you'll hear the voice, it's the child's voice again, at the very beginning of the clip, and you hear the child say, you, Daddy. And then next you will hear the homeowner say, now you've been recording for the voices, and he's talking to me. He's asking, so you've been recording for the voices? And then I kind of say, mm-hmm.
Okay, but the child's voice is you, Daddy, huh?
Yeah, and it's almost like he's referring, the child's referring to the homeowner.
Okay, here we go.
Now, you've been recording for the voices.
That's you, Daddy. You, Daddy. I mean, you can clearly hear you, Daddy. That would imply, I wonder what, you, Daddy, that the child thinks of this man as dad, or
and that,
that the child might be communicating with, in fact, its father.
Now, that's possible, too.
And you just picked that up.
And that could be the man that he has seen in the house.
Huh.
But it also may explain some of the attachment that this child has to the homeowner. You know, it may explain why the child has followed him to his house, because I honestly believe it was at one of the funeral homes that this man has visited.
Well, if it is a child, and this child is trapped in this plane, and this child is trapped with a funeral home director, what steps does the GIS take, or do you ever take, or have you thought of taking? I mean, this is so sad in some ways that you want this child to move on rather than being trapped in this plane, if that's the case. Have you ever called anybody? I mean, I don't know, a priest or somebody to try and assist this spirit of this child to move on?
No, but there have been occasions when we have told them that they don't have to stay here. There was an occasion at one old torn down or old run down theater that's been torn down since, but that had a lot of ghost activity in it, a lot of children's voices we recorded, some that we've played on your shows. And there was one particular night I told them that they do not have to stay here. There's no reason for them to be in this
right.
building.
Right.
They can go on.
All right, let's move to number 7. Again, same house, same.
Yes.
What have we got here?
On this one, you'll hear the homeowner say, "Oh, really?" And you'll hear this voice say, "You don't have to tell me."
And here we go.
"Oh, really?"
"You don't have to tell me." I think that's what I heard. "You don't have to tell me." Is that what it was?
"Oh, really?"
"You don't have to tell me." That's exactly what it sounds like, isn't it? "You don't have to tell me." Some voices are clearer than other voices, aren't
they? Correct.
This one sounded like it was a little distance from the microphone to me.
Yes. 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 But again, how is this being imprinted on the hard drive? Is it through the microphone? If you run a hard drive without a microphone, do you ever get EVPs?
I don't know. This one does have an external mic with it.
I understand.
But it also has an internal mic. Uh-huh. I guess the only way would be to somehow cut the mic and find out if anything recorded afterwards.
Have you ever just run tapes without the benefit of a microphone over the years?
Well, actually, we did a couple of times and never received any results with it.
But that would... Depends on what kind of microphone it is. That would imply that it's being imprinted upon the microphone itself.
That's true.
In some way. And you never received anything minus a mic, huh?
That's correct. We never did.
All right. On to number 8.
All right. This voice is interesting, because when I heard it, I was noticeably shaken by it. I couldn't believe that I did record it. The story that goes along with it is rather interesting, too.
Sure.
We'd walked into the house, and we had been conducting the investigation. This is the same house for probably the last 40 to 50 minutes. And everybody in the GIS and the homeowners were upstairs. I decided to go downstairs by myself into the main level of the house.
Right. Right.
And I walked into their living room area, which, as soon as you walk in, on the wall is a giant mirror. And that was the first thing that caught my eye, was this mirror. If you look into it, you see the kitchen, which is directly behind you. It's
right.
almost in the same room.
Right.
Well, I walk in there, and I'm looking around doing my thing, you know, asking, is anyone here? Can you please talk with me? And that kind of thing.
Sure.
I look up into the mirror, and this is the second time I look at the mirror, and I swear I see a kid run behind me in
Uh-oh.
The kitchen.
Oh.
Directly behind me. Now,
yes.
The interesting thing is the kitchen has no doors whatsoever. And the second I saw it, I knew something wasn't right. I mean, I tried so hard to rationalize this, but I couldn't. And the other thing that bothered me is, you know, it happened pretty quick, but I realized when I looked at the kid, I only saw him probably from the shoulders up because he was so small, that his neck was on sideways. I mean, his head was actually on sideways.
Oh, brother.
I mean, his chin was on, he was running forward, but his head was facing towards me.
Shades
of... His chin
of
was almost on the back of his shoulder. I mean, his neck didn't look like it should be that way at all.
Shades of the Exorcist. Shades of the Exorcist.
Well, and actually, that's the only thing I can compare it to, is that scene in The Exorcist where the head moves around.
Yeah. I
that's what I thought. I mean, it's...
Oh, well, gee, that sounds cheery. All right, and so number eight here is what?
All right, well, what you're going to hear is me say, is anyone here? And then there'll be a slight pause, and then a voice comes in, and it's a child's voice saying either I'm game or I'm Gabe. And at that time, that's right when I saw this thing in the mirror. And right after that, you'll hear me say, no way, because I'm trying to rationalize it, saying there's no way I just
yes.
saw that. And then you hear the kid laughing.
Oh, my. Here we go.
Is anyone here? No way. No way. No way.
In the Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
Oh, that one goes right over the top. Not only do you see the entity, the child, not only do you see it, but you hear it as well. We'll replay that one for you in a moment. I agree with Darren in Decatur, Illinois, who just ass-blasted me. Brendan's No Way clinches it in that last clip. I would have totally freaked. Actually, I'm freaking anyway. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, Darren. Here it is once again. This is not only interactive, but this is an entity cited, a scene by Brendan as the conversation went on. Listen very carefully. The first one, first voice you hear is Brendan saying, as they usually do at GIS, is anyone here? You know, it is anybody around? Listen to this. Is anyone here is the way it begins.
Is anyone here? No way. No way. No way.
I'm game, is what the child says. I'm game. And then the giggle. There's no possible mistake being made here. This is a child's voice. Yeah, Brendan, how did you handle that?
Well, I personally, every time something happens to me, barring EVP, you know, I visually see something, I try my best to rationalize it. I mean, I try everything possible to rationalize it. And this, to me, is one of the few times I can't rationalize it. I cannot figure out any other explanation.
We'll let the audience decide for themselves. Number nine.
Okay, on this next one, you'll hear the lady of the house.
The same house?
Yes.
Okay.
She'll ask, what's your mom and dad's name? And the reply sounds like Oliver.
Oh, really? All right, let's take a listen.
Hey, what's your mom and dad's name?
All right, so here's the wife of this poor man who's had this follow him home, participating, asking, I guess, on behalf of the GIS, what's your mom and dad's name? It does sound like Oliver.
Hey, what's your mom and dad's name? Oliver.
Yeah, it sure does sound like Oliver. It could be something else, but that's what I would have guessed as well. And again, the child's voice. Ay, ay, ay.
It also, I don't know if you noticed, but at the beginning, before she starts to ask the question, it sounded like that child's voice at the beginning. Right at the beginning when she started to ask the question.
Let me do that again.
Hey, what's your mom and dad's name?
Oh, yeah. Okay, no. Listen to the very beginning. You can hear the child's voice just before the question. Here, listen very carefully.
Hey, what's your mom and dad's name?
You're right. That child was saying
something at the same time.
Oh, you're exactly right.
It's the same tone and everything.
Ooh, yeah, you're exactly right. It's the same tone and everything. I hadn't heard that until you pointed it out. Thank you. It's almost like the child got interrupted.
Yes.
And I get how frequently does that occur in EVP?
That happens a lot.
Really?
It's very aggravating when, you know, we will talk over a voice.
Yeah.
Because you don't realize that they're saying something at the time.
All right. Now we're moving on. And at number 10, what have we here?
Well, number 10 was recorded in an old rundown hotel called the Parco Hotel in Wyoming.
Okay.
And the hotel itself was just amazing. It's just a huge hotel with nobody in it. And the man who owns it was nice enough to let us stay overnight in the hotel. And, I mean, it was so weird because I almost felt like The Shining. I mean, we just had this whole hotel to ourselves.
Did you think about going to find an axe or something?
No. Although we did play 1930s style music in the ballroom to see if that would get anything going for us.
Okay, so what have we got here?
All right, well, this was recorded by GIS member Roger, and you're going to hear Jenny say, GIS member Jenny, say, "You know that beam right there? Is that what you're talking about?" And then you'll hear a voice say, "Barber."
Barber?
Yeah, and it was recorded somewhere close to the barber shop that was inside this hotel.
Oh, okay, here we go. Yeah, that's pretty clear. That's a man's voice, right?
Yes.
And it's clearly, I think, saying barber or barb. It couldn't be Barbara. I didn't hear that much.
It sounds
like
Barbara.
Yeah, it sounds like barber. Ooh, weird. Okay, and number 11.
This was also recorded in the same hotel by Roger. You're going to hear Barry, GIS member Barry, say, "That's just a piece of crap my kid let me use." And you're going to hear EVP, they were walking out of the ballroom, Roger and Barry. And you're going to hear somebody call after them, "Hurry back."
Really? All right, let's listen to this.
"That's just a piece of crap.
That's the same man's voice clearly saying, "Hurry back." Same guy.
Yeah.
Hurry back. Well, you know, maybe these entities really do like. You know, I mean, off in that other, on the other side, obviously they're not noticed or, you know, even imagined frequently to be present by the living.
That's correct.
And so maybe they're real happy to have somebody around who...
I think many of them do enjoy having people around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know they're there, and they know that you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, really interesting. But I don't know. I don't think I'd go stay in a hotel like that. But yeah, it's got to be better than a graveyard. All right, on to number 12.
All right, well, in this one, we're in a graveyard. So. me and GIS member Barry were walking around in a cemetery in Wyoming, and I had made a comment that a lot of the headstones we were passing were Mason headstones.
Oh?
And I said, "I bet this whole place was built by Masons." And then you hear Barry, you won't hear that part, but you hear what happens right after. I ask Barry, "Are you recording?" And then he says, "Yes." And I say, "Good, because I'm sure you just got a voice," you know, being kind of sarcastic.
Yes.
And a voice comes in that sounds like it says, "I'm sure."
Uh-huh. The Masons, huh? The Masons. All right, here we go.
You recording?
Yeah.
There's some crazy guy.
Now, I'm trying to pin down, does that sound like a woman's voice?
It sounds like an older woman to me.
Yeah, that's the way it hit me, too. An older woman. One more time.
You recording?
Yeah.
There's some tree that's got a voice.
I'm sure. And so, indeed, you got the voice.
Yes, he did.
Older woman. Okay. We just need to keep moving. We have so many, and we've been talking so much. Number 13.
This was recorded up in Idaho at an old school that's now a museum. And you'll hear the gentleman that brought us there saying there's a lot of neat history behind the building. And we were walking along the side of the building outside, but there was a voice that told us to get out.
Get out? Really? Get out? All right, let's listen.
There's a lot of neat history behind the building.
Yeah, it said get out. That's That's not good. Let's hear it one more time. And it was a sort of a, if you listen to the, again, the intonation, it's a kind of a real get out, you know, like you get the hell out of here kind of get out. Listen.
There's a lot of neat history behind the building.
When you get back, of course, you don't hear that at the moment it's said, but when you get back to the GIS office, wherever that is, and you sit down and you have dredged this up, particularly in that tone of voice, do you make it a policy not to go back to that
place?
No. If it's close by, we'll always go back.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Haven't you ever worried that such a decision you could live or die to, regret?
Well, it hasn't happened yet, so.
And we've been on plenty investigations where we've been told to get out, and we still go back and have been fine, so.
I think people's fear is what would injure them worse than any typical ghost activity.
To you, maybe typical ghost activity, not to me. I mean, when you
Art,
get...
I want you to go out with us sometime.
Oh, yeah, right. I'll make plans now. Can't we have a nice, like a night like tonight, see, where there's a big full moon, and like I was describing to some caller earlier, a mist that covers about half the headstones so thick you can't even see your feet, right?
We would give you a whole different perspective.
Yeah, I'm sure it would. I'll put that on the I'm thinking about it in gray box. All right, number 14.
All right, well, this one was recorded at the same school, and you're going to hear a child's voice at the very beginning, and we're not sure what the child's saying.
Okay.
And then you're going to hear a man named Chris say, I think that house probably should have, and then he kind of drowns out, and I didn't even transcribe what he was saying.
So,
but the child's voice at the beginning is the most important part.
Okay, that's what we're listening for, the very beginning?
Yes.
And you're not sure what it says?
We're not. I've listened to it over and over again, and I just can't figure it out.
Let's
but
see.
It is a child's voice.
Well, let's see if we can get it.
I think that house probably should have.
For what?
I just think that house.
I can't get that either. I can't make it out.
Yeah, it almost seems like it's fast. I mean, it almost seems like it's talking extremely fast.
You think so?
Yeah, well, just playing it over and over again, that's how it sounds.
All right, let's hear it one more time now. Listening for something very fast?
I think that house probably should have.
For what?
I just think that house.
No, I know. I can't say that I hear a lot of speed there, and I can't make out what I do here, so I'll just put a big question mark by that one. But that is a child's voice. That's about all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Number 15.
This was recorded by Roger. We were at a cemetery, and he had said something funny. You'll hear Jenny laughing, and she's saying, I think I'm going to go sit it back in the car because the mosquitoes were so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is quite comical. You'll hear a woman, she sings so long.
She sings so long?
It sounds like,
it sounds like she's singing, and she says so long.
This I've got to hear. Well, I don't know if I heard the singing part. I clearly heard the so long. That wasn't hard to hear. Let one more time. All right, so the so long is very clear. I don't know if I heard the singing part, but so long definitely was what that lady said, and that was a lady's voice, right?
Yes,
yes.
Huh. So long. Again, this comes pretty close to the the interactive contemporary statement. I mean, you're going to get in the car, that's goodbye time and so long.
That's correct. And, you know, to me, that's one of the most fascinating aspects of EVP.
To me, that's the most worrisome aspects of EVP.
Oh, I mean, that's all on your own personal...
Well, yeah, it is. But look, it indicates to me that they've died and that they're still hanging around the cemetery waiting for you all to get there. Now, I know that you say... Or you've said in past shows that cemeteries are not necessarily any better or worse for gathering these sorts of things, but then you keep going to the cemetery, so they must be better.
Well, there's particular ones that are better. I mean, we've gone to cemeteries, and it has not yielded EVP, you know, at certain places, you know.
Yeah.
But there are some that do give you good EVP.
Well, then that... I mean, I would say, I'm just going to guess, in all the shows that we've done, 60%, maybe 70%, 60 to 70% of the EVPs we've played on this program have come from cemeteries.
Well, and to be honest, though, a lot of that was from one or two cemeteries. I mean, over and over again, because we go back there so much because of the results we've gotten previously.
Well, I know, but in a way, you're destroying your own... earlier argument that cemeteries aren't all that special.
Well, no, because like Barbara was saying, there's some where we get absolutely nothing. I mean, there's some where we could sit there for 2 hours and get no voices at all.
May I ask this? Have you made any correlation between, for example, I was in Paris, and I went to a very, very, very old cemetery. I mean, you know, 1600s, 1500s. People who died really a long time ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if you would get as many EVPs in a cemetery of that nature as you would where there have been people recently taken down, you know, very recently taken down. Any comments?
Well, you know, to be honest, I think you would in older cemeteries. And the reason is not so much, well, let me put it this way. I think a lot of the reason we do get voices in certain cemeteries is the emotion that's involved in it. I think that ghosts feed on emotion, and what better place to have emotion than in a cemetery? And cemeteries that have been around longer have obviously more emotion built up. There's been more families that have visited graves. And
yes, I know, but if your other contention is that you're still conscious on the other side, you're still aware, you still have emotions and feelings and thoughts and awareness of self, then that's pretty frightening, because even in the very old cemeteries, those entities are still there.
Yes, I really don't believe they have that much of a concept of time. I mean, I've said that previously.
Yeah, but we do.
Well, we do, yes, and that could frighten us.
It does.
But and honestly, I don't think that's something that we can understand. I mean, I don't think there's any way we can understand it.
Hold on. We're here at the top of the hour. There is no way that I understand it. I am, however, amazed by it.
I've been where the eagle flies, rode his wings across autumn skies, kissed the sun, touched the moon, but he left me much too soon, his lady bird. He left his lady bird. Lady bird, come on down. I'm here waiting on the ground. Lady bird, I'll treat you good. I'll